Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 4th of June, 2026, and tomorrow is Labor Day. And you're on the clock with Erin K. Wench Green. Why? Because we will fix you. We will fix you. Why? Because we never stop working. As we approach Labor Day, I want to take a moment to say something. It may make sense, it may not. I'm still working on it. I've been a human rights advocate for over 25 years now. And in 25 years of activism, advocacy, and public advocacy, I feel confident in saying that the difference between activism and advocacy is advocacy. You advocate on behalf of communities, constituents, and even in environmental advocacy for elements of the world that some people consider sentient, like New Zealand, through law designated that a major waterway was a sentient being. But advocates advocate on behalf of. And activists do something slightly different. I think the job of the activists is very, very simple. It is to activate the human. We have all kinds of issues, LGBTI issues, labor rights issues, worker issues, right? We have community issues. But at the end of the day, activism should be focused on activating the person, activating agency, personal agency within them. And agency means like the ability to make things happen. So you hear the young people say that they got motion. It says, no man, y'all stop dissing the item. I got motion, right? That's a person who has activated themselves. They realize they can make things happen. And that's the job of the activist, right? And we sometimes sort of confuse that. This is where things get a little hairy, right? When advocates on a particular issue try to pull people into their framing of the issue. For LGBTI, the LGBTI space, most people don't even identify as LGBT or I. They don't even necessarily identify as gay or homosexual. That's not the language that they use to define their lives and their experiences. But for the purpose of advocacy, you need to create critical mass, which means you need to get a large group, sector, number of people with you pushing your issue forward. Sometimes the two don't align. The job of the activists is to activate the human so they realize the capacity and the potential within them to make things happen, to solve their own problems. When you begin to solve your own problems, you realize that maybe you can assist others in solving their problem. But the first and the key step to activism is activating the person. Now, in a place where we have more dollars than cents, where we solve problems with money, activating the human also includes economic agency. I know how to generate money when I need it. That's it. Like, you're right, it's simple. Some people say, okay, this job isn't paying me enough. I know how to scan the job market and find something that's paying or is better suited to my daily schedule. The role of the activist is to activate the person. That requires empathy. Empathy that never stops happening. Activating the person requires empathy. But I just want to get back to economic agency for a second before we get into today's headlines and we talk about Labor Day. Activating economic agency, especially within young people, is so important. I'm certain we're going to continue talking about immigration, Haitian migrant community, Haitian baby. We're going to be talking about that for years, right? A lot of Bahamians right now feel oppressed in their own country. They feel oppressed in their own country because they see people who are by law defined as foreigners, and then in some instance, culturally, will always be regarded as foreigners. They see people coming to this country and winning, making things happen, stepping up, improving their lives and their families' lives generation by generation. And we Bahamians feel oppressed because we don't understand how they're doing it. And we get it, they're looking for jobs, they don't stop waiting, 3 and 4 jobs, we get that part. But it's the how are they doing it? How are they continuing to get up, to go to work, and give their all every day, knowing that they're underpaid, that they're undervalued, and in many instances, they're not appreciated, right? It's because they've activated their economic agency. They have a goal, and they know how they're going to reach that goal. Their goals and their expectations, in many instances as foreigners, whether legal status or cultural status, right? Their expectations are different than the citizen. But I see you caller coming to you right now. In the existing system that we have, right, their expectations can be met. In the existing system that we have, our expectations as Bahamians cannot be met. because our expectations bloom beyond our capacity to create. I'm going to stick a pin right there. The line is lit up. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Hi, good morning. How you do?
All is well, eh?
Yes, sir.
That's good. Listen, yeah. Our problem here in this country that is we have to learn to come together. We, as behemoths, we watch too much things. What we do then, watch each other, what one another achieve and what one another accomplish. But the Haitians come here, the Jamaicans come in, you know what they do?
Mm-hmm.
If they see someone there to buy, they come, they combine their resources together to elevate themselves. But the behemoth, everybody will be their own boss. You understand me? We got to learn to come together now and do things together, open businesses together, so that we can take our country back.
Yes.
You understand me? All our problem is that we watching each other. Or Aaron get one contract from the government. They won't want to. But everybody can't get a contract from the government. You understand me? So we got to learn to put our, combine our resources together and make things happen for ourselves. And as long as that happen, if we don't do that, we'd always be the, we'd always be the minority in our country because we don't help each other.
There you go, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. All right.
I don't know if this is what the caller said, but this is what I heard while the caller was speaking. Cooperatives are the future of labor in the Bahamas. Cooperatives are the future of labor in the Bahamas. And let me tell you why. First of all, a cooperative, right, is when a group of people come together to work toward a common purpose, right? So food vendors could form a cooperative, right, purpose of importing or producing sufficient packaging and materials to meet their business needs, right? Farmers cooperatives. We have credit unions that have a cooperative element to it, right? What if, when Sir Lyndon Pinlan said, you have to fight for the country you want. What if he meant you got to have 2 and 3 jobs? What if that's what he meant? Right? I'm going to go to the phone line quickly, and then we're going to get back to why I think cooperatives are the future of labor. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mrs. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
The old generation, the generation before, I wouldn't call them old, it's just the generation before me taught us that the early bird catch the first worm.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to call you early before your lines light up and you can't get in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I also got another peeve other than your traffic situation. When they talk with these contracts and when they talk with these parks not being clean. Now, there are parks that I drive around and I see that I think they're not an immaculate position, but they're clean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I keep saying this over and over. You come in off to the Darling Highway and you come into Pride Estate. That park out there, what I always brag about, planting the trees around it and everything. You come there and you can tell me if that ain't clean. Not any clean, but it's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
A fruit tree around that every 10 feet, I plant them. The sign coming into Pride Estate, I painted that and I designed that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come in there, and when I call Parks and Beaches, I say, come look at Pride Estate number 1 park. You know what the directors say,
mm-hmm.
and the inspectors say?
Mm-hmm.
Sparky, we don't even know how to come in there. We know you got Pride because you live in Pride. And you, Miss Green, every morning I drive around that park, if I see a double mint gum wrapper, I get out my van with my bad legs and I pick up every piece of paper, every little rock, every little thing, and we've been having good rain. If there's no rain, I got about 6 gallons of water, dump bleach bottle of water. I go and water every plant.
Thank you, Sparky.
I keep that park. Hey, if a leaf drops, I go pick up the leaf.
Thank you, Sparky. I got another call. But what Sparky talked about is the power of volunteerism, right? Volunteerism and employment are the 2 tools we have. See, you don't have to be working to develop personal and economic agency. And you don't have to be of working age either. Let's go to the phone line quickly, but thank you, Sparky. Voluntarism. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Right, hey, guess what? Sparky, correct, you know, I passed around there to Pride State Park once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once or twice, because I was trying to find one house to drop off and rent a car, right? And they claimed for trade, though.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? That's Sparky, right? The minute he planted with mango tree on a nap tree, the coconut boys, them going to be a joke. I can be on that tree.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you for adding that element to the conversation. The coconut boys. See? It's because it's as if even for politicians, the term economic agency, if they use it, I could be honest, I have not heard one politician use the term economic agency in the context at all, really, but certainly not in the context of empowering their constituents, right? Even if they had said, if I spend $5 to empower my constituents, I'm going to get a return of $100 on each constituent. You know, even with that type of plantation PLP math, nothing, right? Nothing. The coconut boys, one of the worst decisions. Now, when y'all talk about Minnis being a bad prime minister, walking outside in the receding flood water barefoot as a prime minister and the country's leading doctor, right, that was enough for me. We could fight him then. But the coconut boys, and let me tell you why. Because Mr. Minnis used that constituency, that group of people, for a cheap, flimsy political moment and destabilized an entire industry, right, before it could get started, but also criminalized the individuals who take advantage of what they like to call free coconuts. We can get back to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
This open line?
Technically, no, it's not an open line, but let me just take for a second. We're talking Labor Day. We're talking the flooding downtown, and where is the Ministry of Works, and where is Beaches and Parks? And we're talking FOIA commissioners, term ends, and we talk in allocation of portfolios. But go on, tell me what you want to talk about.
I wanted to bring the attention to the situation with the immigration policy. What they see is upgraded, right?
Right. Because, so let me just stick a pin. The policy proposal that if an individual's application for citizenship is denied, that they could pay a nominal fee for permanent residency.
Right.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Now, Aaron, now, a work permit in the Bahamas is $2,000
mm-hmm.
for a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the status of permanent resident mm-hmm. is far more greater than somebody
on a work permit. No, absolutely.
Right? So for a government to suggest that because somebody did not was not eligible for citizenship and now could pay $500 and become a resident.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something we really have to look at because, that's borderline scary to me because a work permit, Aaron, costs $2,000.
That's every 2 years, right?
Every year?
Every year, yeah.
So now when I don't know how often somebody have to pay for a resident
if there are recurring fees for permanent residence,
if that's annually or that's a one time.
Yeah.
Because if it is either, right? Mm. I mean, what is gonna because we have some people who deserve.
Yeah.
To be resident in this country because they you know we have some really true issues. We have some people who was born here and they you know didn't have the opportunity and you know
okay.
But there are some scary elements we have to look at because
right.
I can leave you with this.
Yeah.
If I'm on a work permit, right, and now I could say allegedly I could just go and try to find a way to apply, knowing that I can be denied because
mm-hmm.
I know I'm eligible. But because the option was open to, for applying, and once you are rejected, right, you now get paid $500 to become.
All right, let's stick
resident.
A pin. Don't go. Let's stick a pin right there, right? So I don't, okay, first of all, let's start off by saying the government did itself a disservice by introducing this idea to the public in the manner that it did, right? This matter is of such a sensitive and serious nature that it should have been approached differently, more broadly, with far more information. You can't just spring this one up on us in a small communication in the House of Assembly. Because, like you said, there are so many issues that could just naturally arise. And with our anecdotal experience of government, we have rights to be concerned. Now,
yes,
to
right.
the last point that you made, right, that somebody whose citizenship application may have been denied could, like, technically automatically get permanent residency because $500 ain't nothing, right? If somebody's application is rejected, right, there's going to be grounds for it, right? Like, well, you actually have an extensive criminal record in this country while you were awaiting for your status to be, you know, adjudicated on, your application to be adjudicated on. Because of the nature of the crimes that you committed, you cannot get citizenship.
And
depending on the nature of the crimes, then it's unlikely that permanent residency would be offered to that person. So the question is, does the applicant have an automatic right to permanent citizenship if their application for to permanent residency application for citizenship is denied? I do not think the law will be written that way. The second point is that the state reserves the right to not grant. Okay, so the argument, there's an argument on the table, right, that the Constitution said, or when the Nationality Act says that you may apply at the age of 18, right? Some people argue that all you being granted is the right to apply. There's no right to citizenship at 18. You're only being granted the right to apply for citizenship. Some people argue that the citizenship was always available to you, but you are unable to make the choice until you reach the age of majority. So at the age of majority, then you can determine which one you want, right? Not that you don't have it, but you may decide, I would prefer to keep my American or Estonian citizenship than Bahamian. Yeah.
Before I go, because I like to listen to you, let me just leave you with this. Right?
Yeah.
After somebody, say, after obtaining residency through this process they are creating, despite I applied for citizenship, are these people them still, after getting the permanent resident, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would there still be a pathway for persons
right, that's
to
a question.
Get citizenship?
Right, like, would this person, absolutely, the question is, would this person, after having an application for citizenship denied, but being granted the right to apply for permanent residency, and they receive the permanent residency, right, is there a possibility that in 20 years' time, that person could apply for citizenship again, or is it possible that the law may be amended after the person opts for permanent residency, right? So your citizenship has been denied. You say, you ain't going back home. I'll opt for the permanent residency. After you've done that, the law has been changed and allows those people a pathway to citizenship. These are questions that the state needs to answer. And I think it's very problematic the way that they pronounce policies to us, almost as if it's just a PR stunt. It's not a well thought out policy. The individuals speaking are not prepared to address questions or concerns in that moment. Right? Now, when we talk about activating the human, developing personal and economic agency within a person, the healthy development of a human depends on clarity in the space. right? We cannot tolerate these pronouncements with no substance behind them and no intention of engaging the public or concerned constituents about the issue. That lack of clarity and transparency and coherence in a space makes it problematic. And that's why a lot of young people give up. A lot of young people give up on trying to understand what is happening. I got a call this morning from a sign man. We're going to be talking about signs. One of the reasons why I have this conversation about signs is not about traffic at all, but it's about understanding how people navigate the world around them and the value and importance of clear, accurate, and relevant signage. Not just that the signage is in the place where it needs to be, but that it appears, it exists when it needs to exist. Here's a text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Currently, I think a foreigner couldn't become a permanent resident if they purchase property valued at $750,000 or more. $500 is a slap in the face. Okay, so let's talk about it. The decision to grant, okay, the how do you qualify for permanent residency, right? I'm aware of an instance where an individual was told, you have satisfied all of your legal and financial requirements as a migrant working in this country for 2 decades, or say for 2 decades. You have a good chance of receiving permanent residency if you apply, because they have a record of their contribution to the country. It would be a case to let some foreigner just fancy their way into the country like on a little sailboat, right? Just fancy their way into the country and pull up ashore and say, bam, I got $500, I won't be a permanent resident. That is disrespectful. And to be honest with you, $750,000 is $500 to plenty of the people that take advantage of this legal mechanism. That is the slap in the face. So I want to talk about the labor marches and why we have in so many different marches this morning. When I broached the subject initially, I said, come on, we as a people, particularly of African descent and the descendants within pernicious, that mean nasty and disgusting, political and imperialist political systems. I'm talking about our Konki Joe brothers and sisters who've been with us here for hundreds and hundreds of years. This hierarchy of power exists in whiteness as well. And not everybody is the same type of white, right? So we got a whole group of people here who of different skin color who have to hold bay at bay, right? That's why we hold bay. Because that's the only way we keep tourism at bay. That's the only way we keep government at bay, by holding Bay Street. That's why my big concern with not marching to Bay Street is, right? But we have to, as Bahamians, right? Those of us who say, I am a Bahamian legally and culturally, right? We have to examine our cultural attitudes towards work. Because as the descendants of enslaved Africans, it is not unnatural to never want to work another day in our lives, without a doubt. However, that's the danger of not understanding the systems that oppress you. Because your true liberation is in work, your ability to decide when you're going to work, how you're going to work, and to ensure that you can produce what you need to survive. Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Morning, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Just a quick note,
yes,
on the amendment for permanent residents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if persons are aware or you may be aware as to, you know what the, before the amendment, what it was?
Tell me, just for the purpose of...
Before the amendment, the cabinet has, you know, right to deny citizenship and recommend PR.
Mm-hmm.
And that fee was actually $50.
Okay, right. But go on.
So the amendment now has just moved the, given the minister now the ability to, or the authority to do the same thing with an increase in that fee to $500.
Mm-hmm.
But the parameters for refusing the citizenship still remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
There is no change in whatever for whatever reason.
Criteria or disqualifying criteria.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it's not, I understand people may feel like it's something new, but this has always been.
Right, this is always the process.
Other than now that some authority is being transferred to the minister and the fee has been increased.
Right.
But persons in the community who would have already taken advantage of it, mm-hmm. Know that, if the cabinet refuses citizenship application, the cabinet can recommend PR.
Mm-hmm.
And that fee used to be $50.
I got you.
And remember, these are, for the most part, persons who are born in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And may have applied for citizenship late,
mm-hmm.
or for maybe some other extending circumstances why the cabinet decides, okay, no, we don't want to give you PR right now.
Mm-hmm.
Citizenship.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then in addition to that, those persons can hold that permanent residence. The policy for most governments over the world, we want you to hold that for at least 5 years. Then you can come back and apply for reconsideration for citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And then in many of those cases, at that point, cabinet decides, okay, yeah, you know, we are now satisfied, and they go ahead and give citizenship.
Absolutely.
Approval.
Okay, I appreciate what you say.
On the second note, mm-hmm. The threshold now for PR investors or persons who are applying for PR as an investor is $1 million. So it's no longer $750,000.
It's a million, eh?
It's a million now.
That's like a thousand. So, that's like a band. And you know a band don't mean anything because everybody's singing about it in their songs. But thank you. Right. I thank you very much for the information.
No problem.
Absolutely. Thank you for the information. Let's go to the next caller while I mull about these questions in my head. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
You know, it's exciting to hear all of this important stuff going on. You know, it's interesting that we're concerned about the foreign person. I thought we would have come and tabled some bills to help our people who are struggling. The foreign people ain't struggling. Like you said, $1,000 is like $2 to them.
To some of them. But, to some.
Well, yes, of course. You're not leaving your country to come all the way to this country to put up $1 million. If you ain't gonna make more than $1 million, you agree?
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they ain't stupid. But my thing is, our people are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
$60 to fill up a cube, a paso.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we be tabling some bills to remove all tax off food and fuel? Something makes sense for us. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I ran. No other reason but to empower and better off the Bohemian people first. But we don't read our Bible. Jerusalem first and then Judea and the rest of the world.
Man, look here, Graham.
No, let me
hold on, wait. First of all, I was impressed by your results at the election, even though I'm mad that you ain't had no merchandise. How I can get my collection of election party memorabilia? But I was impressed by your numbers, without a doubt.
I went to the PRD and I can't get the final numbers yet. Do you have them?
I can try find them because I want to know.
480. 480, and I put up one sign.
I'm telling you.
I did a virtual campaign.
I'm mad at you because also, Graham, you adopted the old man preacher voice. Like, I don't understand it. And you're using biblical rhetoric. How you get so good at this politic thing? But I got to go, Graham.
Well, the last time I only got 10 votes, you remember?
Yes, as I'm saying,
in
you
2012.
Had a tremendous increase, tremendous increase.
So if I did almost 500 with one sign, imagine if I put up five signs.
There
the reason
go.
I did well is because I'm speaking to what I just spoke to. Help my people first.
Yeah.
And then worry about these foreigners, eh? First table bill should be for the Bahamian people. Have a good one, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I good, thank you. I mean, I think I good. I ain't sure. I could be honest. I almost get washed up in the flood water in town yesterday, and I wonder what the people be waking on when they ain't waking at work.
You a survivor, man. You're going to be all right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so listen, just clarify for me, if you can, please. This matter has been being discussed now about this permanent residency.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it the cabinet that grants, that approved these applications in the first place?
I think so, yes.
So if the cabinet finds a reason to deny a request, then how does it make sense for the minister to approve it?
Okay, so... So cabinet would do citizenship. The question is, why would the authority then be vested back in the single minister for the approval of permanent residency?
Right.
I feel you. Yeah.
I mean, I'm confused. I'm confused. I don't know. Then maybe there's something that I'm missing. But
right, because in an amended process, I imagine you would determine qualification for permanent residency as or after you made a decision about citizenship, because you may say, well, listen, this I wouldn't give him citizenship, but I think permanent residency is fine. Or you may say, well, listen, no, I don't care that the person was born in the Bahamas and I understand the oppression and how it may impact a young person, but this person has a pro record that started in childhood. They were able to have access to behavioral programming and nothing worked. So not only am I recommending we not grant citizenship, I would also recommend that we don't make permanent residency available as well, right? Like, I think those two conversations could take place at the same time. So why separate the decision-making for both elements, for the elements?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to find a place to, normalize or something the individual. I'm not so certain that that's the right route to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion, though.
Right. Well, I don't think I don't think it can be automatic, right? It should not be an automatic if you denied citizenship, if you can afford the $500 you could get permanent residency. I don't think it should be like that. But then remember the Commercial Enterprise Act, which said in its bill form, I don't know if it's changed or amended, but it said if you, a foreigner, apply for a work permit for staff, for your business or whatever, and you do not receive a response in 15 days, consider it granted?
Yeah, I remember automatic approval.
Right, like so there's reasonable... for people to have concerns, to raise questions without a doubt. And I think there's more clarity needed. Like an earlier caller pointed out, this is not a new sort of legal procedure, but we certainly can demand complete and utter transparency, clarity, and coherence. Not just like that the act is clearly written, but that the conversations you have with the public about them are framed in a way that ensures transparency, clarity, and coherence.
I agree with you, Mr. Green, because now we are vesting these powers in the hand of individuals, and I mean, just complete trust, I suppose that's what it is, that they are working on that.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Here's the text. Why do they have to address anyone's concerns? They voted for them to make decisions on your behalf for the next 5 years. Good luck. Oh, boy. How do I remain polite and respectful on the radio but also respond to this? That makes no sense. This is not a plantation, even though 73-1A suggests it and the political class insists it. It is not a plantation. That foolishness makes no sense. But you voted for them to make decisions on your behalf for the next 5 years. Good luck. It doesn't work that way. No matter how much your politician friends tell you. The person says, sailboat is not cheap. And this Texas says, are they pulling up from the south or are they pulling up from the north? Texter, are you putting that here? Is that what the policy says? Like when they sit at the cabinet table, is that how the questions are framed? Well, if they're pulling up from the south, but if they're pulling up from the north, says, go read the Commercial Enterprise Bill 2018. Thank you, Texter. Morning, Aaron. I listened to the security who got fired from Bimini this morning. She never disrespected the PM. It was the pilot she was dealing with. You know what I find so interesting? Why was it? The person says, what interests them most is the timing of the dismissal. The timing of the dismissal. I don't know if that's a hill I have to die on. That may be a hill I have to die on. If there is a specific protocol for handling dignitaries, first of all, why is that protocol not emblazoned on a wall somewhere to ensure that your staff never make a mistake with someone as important as the prime minister? Secondarily, why was a junior, right? Like if she's such a jabroni and don't know what she's doing, why was a junior assigned to such an important flight? Third of all, security is security. The protocol is in place to protect everybody. And y'all gonna say, especially the prime minister, right? Because he's special, right? So you go through all the protocols. Don't be like the young people. Be on your job like these old people who has run through stop sign in the government car, in the central bank car. Good afternoon. Yesterday was day before yesterday. It's a beautiful day on the road. Right? Like, don't be like them. Don't be like the police on their cell phone with no seatbelt on. Don't be like the police officer in town this morning at East Street and Shirley Street. I watched three cars go past him, and I know they was on their cell phone because I saw it as they drove past me. Don't be like them. Follow the law and if you are and the rules and the regulations, and if you are unable to, follow the proper procedure for making your supervisors aware that you are unable to do it. Don't get like these people. Well, I mean, as the prime minister, would you? I ain't follow the rules. Follow the rules. Because if something goes awry, they're going to look at you for not doing your job, whether you are responsible for the malfeasance or not. Here's another text. Aaron, I love the division in the labor movement with all of these different Labor Day marches. It shows that labor has no unity and that the powers it can... that B can easily oppress, divide, and control us. The powers that B will always win because of this division. I am telling you that, see, y'all believe I just be dissing the PLP all the time, right? That memorandum of understanding is perhaps the most savvy political move since Article 73-1A of the Bahamas Constitution, forever formally known as a pendulumism, right? That memorandum of understanding is like, that was more savvy than gutting the media before the election. That MOU, just savvy. I mean, you win the battle, you lose the war. Good for the party, bad for the country. Here's a text. Good morning, Miss Green. You ever wonder why some Bahamian businesses hire foreigners? It's because as a Bahamian, if you don't want to do several persons' job for minimum wage, they hire them to do it at cheap labor. How do you want someone to do several positions for 8 hours at minimum wage? Your expectations are misplaced. Here's what I mean. Okay, you are facing injustice on the job. What mechanisms have you engaged to fix this? Have you been able to convince your colleagues or on the job or other Bahamians in a similar position as you to form an organization? Next week, I'm trying to get org on so we could talk about how to form an organization. Are you dissatisfied with your local election results? Well, did you know you don't have to wait another 5 years to say something about it? Former Citizen Action Group, right? We're going to have them on. But, like, what are you doing to shift this dynamic in the space that you work in? What are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to fight for your country? And in whatever form it takes, because it may take advocacy, it may take writing letters, it may take compiling, collecting and compiling data. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, hello. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Blessings.
Yeah. The thing is, your conversations go far beyond and of great effects on the human journey. You know? But I just wanted to ask a question as relates to some changes I heard the government was doing or whatever, contemplating. And I'd just like to make a statement after that. The thing is, I thought the government, isn't it that the government can't make constitutional changes without a referendum?
Right. So, yeah, there are, I think there are basically three different types of parts of the Constitution. There's a
entrenched laws.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So we need a legal pundit, non-funded, to come and discuss that. But I want to make this quick point to just debunk something that was said on the radio. Somebody debunked union busting, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted the person to know that people out here are thinking, and so they said that they're not union busting, but when you have large janitorial contracts with any said private entity, that's a form of union busting because the contractor is paid the contractor, and then they bring in the workers. Hence, the entity wouldn't have to hire behemoths. So it's union busting because it's reducing numbers, hence reducing financial input. I mean, you know,
reducing the people who can be a part of a union.
Yeah, so what I'm saying, my question to the public and the pundits and whoever, status quo, whatever, why is it they think that everybody is mindless and brainless and bookless? That's what I'd like to know. Why do they think that? Is this really a plantation? Give thanks.
Absolutely. They don't think everybody is mindless and bookless and brainless, but they know that with efforts, that they could thwart any attempt at collective reasoning. They could thwart, right? Like they could obstruct, they could kapunkle up any attempt at collective organizing. Why? Because they got a powerful machine, right? They got a powerful machine called party supporters. And that's why gutting the media, it's not just gutting the traditional media space, but changing the nature of the informal media space as well in the country. Let's go back to the text line. In 20 years' time, they and their 5,000 descendants will be made citizens. I don't know if the math is mathing. The problem is the gate. Nobody should be here working for 20 years on a work visa. See, now, Texter, let's talk about it, right? This immigration system is a system that oppresses both the migrant and the citizens of the country they are migrating to for either employment or, like, survival, right? The system mashes down everybody but convinces each part, right? The migrant and the citizen, the system convinces you fighting each other. Why would you allow someone to work for 20 years on a work visa? By year 10, you sit them down and you say, hey, what's going on? Are you intending to apply for citizenship? Are you intending to apply for permanent residency? Right? When I had Nico McCullis on the show, he talked about Patricia Glinton McCullis trying to say out loud who is taking care of the soul of the country and the soul of the people. See, because by year 10 on a work permit, you know that somebody is committed to this work. Why? Because they got bills. They may be trying to buy a house or a car. You pay them things over years. allowing somebody to just bounce about in your immigration system for 20 years is inhumane and unchristian. All right, let's go to another text. Good morning. Is the provision now going to allow the minister to just go behind the cabinet and make his own decision about who gets permanent residency after the citizenship application has been denied, removing the recommendation for permanent residency from the cabinet after the rejection? So we talked about this earlier in the show. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I think it's important for the state to not announce policy proposals like this until they have real substantive information, policies, and structures to present to the people. The PLPs are a band of reprobates. They can see no wrong in that party. They'd support Satan if he was a PLP. Texter. I don't know if you could see me mashing my eyes down at all the people who are going to say, Aaron, you can't say that. I's a PLP, and I don't believe that. It's not unreasonable for people to say things like this. Let me give you a perfect example, since we're talking things is things. Kirk Cornish was accused of some very, very serious matters. Right? He was acquitted. Found him not guilty. That's fine. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is the Westminster system and how long it took Mr. Cornish to present himself to the authorities after they made the request clear and public. Yeah? That's the part. In the Westminster system, you're supposed to resign at a hint of impropriety. Not... oh, you gotta wait until the court say I'm guilty before you touch me. The Westminster system says you resign at the hint, the suggestion, the scent. If there is a frowsiness in the air, you resign and say, I don't know where it came from, but it may be me, so I'm going to step away, go take a shower. That's what you do. Producer, let's take this caller, and then I can try speed through the rest of these texts. We have time for the caller. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller. You still there? Okay. One of the main strategies in taking control of a society is diminishing, discrediting, oppressing, and controlling the intelligentsia. Oh, boy. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about it. Okay, another text. Ms. Green, wonder what is the appointed day of this change? I can't. There we go. Sorry, caller, I missed you. Oh, wow. So one person with 10. Oh, boy. Okay. What if, when Sir Lyndon said you gotta fight for your country, he meant you gotta fight for 2, 3, 4 jobs in your country? Right? What if that's what he meant? I tell you what, though, as far as I'm concerned, until we start talking about what Article 73 1A means, this will always be a plantation. And me? Old gay wench pie like me? I don't plan on being enslaved on anybody's plantation. Trust that. Because while the important thing is to activate the human, while work gives us agency, none of us shall be deprived of the benefit of our own labor. None. None. And nobody in this country either. Whether they're a citizen or not, if they're working, they shall be respected. It's Labor Day. Respect those who work. Because everybody must work. Volunteerism and cooperatives are the future of labor in the Bahamas. You guys have a great day. I gotta go. I gotta give CA this mic because he's ready to work too. Have a great day, Bahamas. Well,
j'avais passé mon souhait. Watch this.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in support. Enjoy fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope Concert immediately following the walk. Register at gdcancersupportgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.